What's up, you guys? Time for a movie retrospective. Mm-hmm. So this one, okay, so I was like kind of interested. The reason I put this one in the poll, I had actually never seen it before, but I was thinking, well, it's about Jack the Ripper. Fucking crazy ass Klaus Kinski is in it. And it was directed by Jess Franco. And I don't think we've done any Jess Franco movies previously. And it's free on Tubi. So I figured, hey, like, what the hell? Now, I'm going to say I didn't love it.
The movie's unwatchable.
I didn't love it.
It looks good, but it's just unwatchable.
Well, interesting.
The edit.
Yeah, well, okay. The thing about it, I don't know, like, I feel like a lot of people that come to this channel are probably pretty familiar with Jess Franco, but if you're not, he was a Spanish director, probably one of the most prolific filmmakers in modern history. He made almost 200 films, sometimes as many as 9 in a single year. Very famous for exploitation cinema. You know, he would do shit like, you know, Nunsploitation. He made, like, Vampiros Lesbos, The Awful Dr. Orloff, which this movie is a little bit kind of like a remake of. But yeah, so he's, like, really known for doing that kind of, like, trash exploitation kind of shit. Now, that said, this movie, though, looks really nice.
Yeah, it's an expensive movie.
And honestly, I mean, it's not. He didn't spend a lot of money on it, but this actually, I saw one review that said this actually looks more like a real movie than anything that, like, Jess Franco ever made. I don't know if that's down to the cinematographer or whatever it is, but it's a little bit different than his usual stuff. And the thing that you have to know about this is that even though it's called Jack the Ripper and Klaus Kinski is playing a Jack the Ripper, like, product,
it's nothing.
This
like
has nothing to do with the actual Jack the Ripper, other than it being like a surgeon type thing, him killing prostitutes, and it ostensibly being set in London, even though they actually shot it in Zurich. It's like it has nothing to do with it. Now the thing about it was like it started out pretty cool. Like I said, it looks beautiful. It almost looks like a Hammer film.
Yeah, it's just a serial killer movie.
But
it does not have anything to do with Whitechapel or the type of victimology or the actual case. This is just, let's just make a serial killer movie. That's what they're talking about. And they set it in that era. The edit is unwatchable, if you ask me. Boring. Fuck it. It has good elements, but they're just not presented right. It kind of drags in certain areas, and fucking Klaus is just stale as fuck through the whole thing. Just stale. I mean, you could probably edit Klaus to be a lot more interesting with what was shot, but not the way it's shown. Just long, drawn-out scenes of his face, and you start laughing at it. You start laughing. You think that they're fucking trolling you, you know?
The thing about it, like, some horror fans really dig this. Like, people that are really into Jess Franco and stuff, even though, like I said, this isn't exactly what Jess... It's a little bit classier than what Jess Franco usually did. Yeah. Now, this does have, like, some extreme gore and, like, a lot of nudity and rape and shit like that in it. But you would think, with it being Jess Franco, and see, this is what I was thinking, like, before I saw it. You would think, with it being Jess Franco and with it being Klaus Kinski, who is, you know, well-known crazy person.
Motherfucker's crazy.
And I heard somewhere, I don't know if this is true or not, but there were allegations that he had actually, like, abused and possibly even raped, like, one or both of his daughters. I'm not sure.
Who did this?
Klaus Kinski.
Oh, I didn't realize it. Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's the case or not. It's just something that I came across while I was, like, reading other reviews of this. But the thing about it is, like, I kind of figured if you give Klaus Kinski a role like this, where he's supposed to be a creep, you would think that he would just, like, go out there and be crazy, but he's not. He's very restrained. Yeah. Now, some of that might be because he's dubbed.
Yeah.
He's dubbed over. That's not his real voice. What they did with this was, I guess they filmed it, like I said, in Switzerland, with a mostly Swiss crew, as far as I'm aware, and maybe like some Germans. But what they did was, I guess, just like in Italy, they had everybody kind of talk in their regular voices, and then they dubbed everything over, like they did an English dub and a French dub and a German dub and whatever the hell.
It's the EU dub.
So they can show it in lots of different markets, because there's like a huge market for these kind of like sleazy kind of films over there.
Yeah, the countries are little, man. You can't sell a movie in one country in Europe. It's got to be for all of them.
Yeah, you got to do like, you got to dub it in all the languages. Yeah. So like I said, that's kind of why Italy, like why Giallo films and stuff like that. Yeah. That's why they just didn't even bother. Like, everybody just speak whatever language you speak, and then we'll dub it over later into all the different languages. It's probably just easier to do that.
Which sometimes worked out. It worked out.
Yeah, I didn't love it here, though, like I said, because Klaus Kinski has such a distinctive voice, and I think that his voice is, like, something to do with his persona. This is kind of like when they overdubbed Udo Kier in Suspiria, which wasn't as big a deal because, you know, he had, like, a tiny part in that, but it's kind of the same thing. It's like, if you're going to watch Udo Kier or if you're going to watch Klaus Kinski, part of what you want to see about them is their voices. I mean, that's, like, so much part of their persona. So the fact that he's dubbed over by an English or Scottish actor is kind of, like, a little off-putting.
Yeah. Now, she just mentioned Udo Kier. If you want to see a real trippy fucking horror flick, watch Udo Kier's Frankenstein. That shit was fucking mind-blowing. It's diametrically opposed to this movie. This movie...
We did a review of it. Although we never did Andy Warhol's Dracula either, have we? Which has essentially the same cast.
Oh, yeah. Well,
we did the Frankenstein one is better, but...
Frankenstein's great. It's fucking perverse. It's fucking weird as shit. It's where the character fucking from Sprockets came from. Was it a Dieter from Sprockets? He's definitely doing Udo Kier from that movie. Stop. Don't touch my monkey. You're loving him too much. You're spoiling him. It's in there. All right? Fucking, that's a fucking good flick. This one, it had gore. It had nudity. It had a madman, a real madman fucking in the movie, you know? That motherfucker right there.
A real actual madman.
An actual madman, all right? and it still managed to be boring.
It was really a shame. Yeah, it was really a shame.
And it had a lot of good plot elements, you know? Fucking, the Ripper has basically a female simp that does whatever he wants her to do. It takes care of all the bodies and totally in love with him. And that was fucking weird. That was a weird element. But they never really did much with it. That was kind of like my biggest issue with it
was that, like, a lot of, I mean, that was a fascinating aspect of the story that, like I said, this has nothing to do with the real Jack the Ripper murders at all. So, like, don't think that it is. It's like, it's maybe like a couple things that are similar, but yeah, this introduction of this character who is his housekeeper wife who we don't know.
It's just her simp.
She just lives there, simps off of him.
Yeah.
And she knows exactly what he's doing and like watches him do it
and
sometimes.
She just loves him, she loves him.
And she goes and like dumps the you know, the bodies and the Thames and stuff. Yeah. Well, it's not really the Thames, obviously, because it's in Switzerland, but you know, it's supposed to be the Thames. But she goes and at one point, like, he cuts up the bodies and she goes to like dump it in the river and she's like rummaging around in there and like pulls out an eyeball, like, ooh, I'm gonna save that guy for later. And I kind of wish they would have done one. They shouldn't have called this movie Jack the Ripper because it's nothing to do with Jack the Ripper. No. I mean, you could have just made it like a generic.
Right.
The thing about it is that Jess Franco made a movie called The Awful Dr. Orloff, and this movie is almost a remake of that. So I kind of figure that maybe he got like a slightly bigger budget and he's like, oh, I'm gonna like remake this movie, and the producers were like, why don't you call it Jack the Ripper, because that's like name recognition.
Yeah,
so he's like, yeah, whatever, because this is essentially, I mean, the whole thing about having the female accomplice, the whole thing about like one of the cops being married to a ballerina and like the ballerina like going undercover to, you know, help to solve the murders, like all the aspects of this movie were from Awful Dr. Orloff. And I think in Jack the Ripper, I didn't see, because this didn't have any end credits, and I wasn't really paying attention at the beginning, like, to the beginning credits, because all the credits were at the beginning. But in some prints of this movie, Jack the Ripper, the character that Klaus Kinski plays is credited as Dr. Dennis Orloff. So you can see that he's trying to make it. I think Dr. Orloff is a character that turned up, like, in a lot of Jess Franco films. So you can see that he's essentially just trying to, like, cram the Dr. Orloff story, like, into a Jack the Ripper narrative.
Yeah, and he crams a bunch of characters that don't need to be in there into this narrative also. You could fix this movie. You'd have to edit the
fuck out of it. Because it looks beautiful.
Yeah.
And actually, it was restored in 2013. Even from what I could determine, because this is the first time I've ever seen it, from what I could determine, you know, people said even like on crappy VHS, you could still tell that it was nicely shot.
Yeah.
But they said now it's been restored like on Blu-ray, and they're like, it looks gorgeous. And it does. Like, a lot of the shots are beautiful. Like, a lot of the, you know,
the settings.
Yeah, the settings are beautiful. Yeah. The costumes are nice. Like, everything, you know.
The acting isn't bad.
Not really. Yeah, it's a competently made movie. Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean?
The problem's the edit.
It's the editing and the fact that there's too many plot threads that are kind of just left unresolved.
Yeah, and there's no reason for it to be in there. They need to chop this thing down and streamline the story so it's a little faster paced. It's all there, you know. You make it a slasher flick, a pretty standard flick. You can make a standard slasher flick that'd probably be pretty entertaining and satisfying just out of what's there. You'd probably lose 30 minutes, 35 minutes of the movie. But...
And I don't think this movie is that long, really. I think
I'd have to go back and look.
What was it? 92 minutes?
It felt like it was 2 hours long.
Something like that. It did feel a little bit long. I mean, I kind of... And I didn't know if it was just me, because I was, like, really, really tired.
No.
And we didn't start it that late. We started at, like, 8:30. And, like, by the time, like, it was getting to the point where the ballerina was like, oh, I'm going to go undercover as a hooker and, like, see if I can draw him out or whatever, because the cops aren't doing diddly fuck. I kind of dozed off a couple of times.
Yeah, I started to get about...
And I'm very patient, you guys know.
Yeah, I was 30 minutes into it, just going, come on. why are they doing this? You know, it needs to be really streamlined and chopped down into a linear, coherent narrative that is fun to watch and is not kind of... There's a lot of good shit in there.
There is, yeah.
But... there's so much of it that it starts becoming tedious, and the cool shit that they show you isn't going to amount to anything later on. It'll never be. Like a typical Italian flick, actually. Fucking a giallo flick. They'll just do something, and you're like, oh yeah, that was cool. But that didn't mean anything in the story. It's because they were
sometimes it does, and sometimes it doesn't. It depends on who you're talking about.
The Italians mostly just made the script up as they were going.
They're like, it just looks cool. We'll worry about it later.
that's the truth of giallo movies, that they were pulling it out of their ass at any moment.
Although you haven't really seen that many,
I fucking saw interviews with people that fucking were, you know, involved in the productions and shit.
To a large extent,
they make it up.
But some of them do make sense. You know.
Although I think sometimes the sense is made up after the fact, and the sense is made in edit, because some of those guys were just
Legit.
Yeah, some of the guys would have a script, but then as the shit would unfold, they couldn't execute that script because the actors would be fighting or refuse to do it, so they'd have to change things, and then somebody gets sick, but they got a film, so they change some other shit, and then they go, well, we'll work it all out later. Let's just shoot it. You know, it was that kind of stuff. And then in edit, they could piece it together. And a lot of times, when it was done, it was nothing like the original script or the idea of what it was. Now, it might have been good after that. You know, the audience didn't know what the original script was. Didn't matter.
Well, and the thing about it is, I kind of feel like,
make a movie.
Well, depending on the director, the script is just kind of like a jumping off spot.
Yeah.
Like, I know that some directors are very, especially if they stick to the script, but some directors are just kind of like, well, the script says this, but why don't you just, obviously making a movie is like a large team effort.
Yeah.
So you're going to have like a lot of people. And then like after you finish shooting it, then you have to give it to an editor and I think editors are kind of like the unsung heroes of like the movie business.
They make or break you.
They really do make or break a movie.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest with you. Yeah, you have to have the good shit there to start with, but for the editor to work with, but it makes a big difference.
The whole Star Wars fucking saga was all saved in edit. Fucking A New Hope. The original edit fucking sucked, evidently, but fucking Lucas's wife re-edited that shit. Evidently, she was good.
I think that happens with a lot of movies, where it's like the first original edit. Well, because editing and directing are kind of two different talents. I mean, sometimes you get the same, you know, the same talent in the same person, but sometimes you don't.
Yeah.
And sometimes you need an editor to come in and go, we don't need that, or we need to like move this around, or something like that. Somebody that's not... you know, not creatively invested, but they didn't like write it and they didn't direct it. So they don't, maybe they have a little bit of like one remove from it. So they can kind of come in and go, you don't need that or the other thing.
A lot of the Klaus Kinski scenes in this, he seems kind of aimless. Like he doesn't really know what he's supposed to do. He just puts that fucking face on. I think there's no plan to any of this. He's just ad-libbing. You know, which a good actor is going to do that. But
like I said, we can't tell because he's dubbed, so I can't tell like what his actual voice sounded like.
Well, just his facial expressions and his body language in some of these scenes is very awkward. Like he's not really sure how the scene's going to go. You know, it's just you know, but it's okay.
You know what's interesting is that You know, Klaus Kinski famously, he hated directors. But him and Jess Franco seemed to get along. Hmm. Matter of fact, Klaus was in a couple other of Jess Franco's movies. I think he was in the Dracula movie, and I think he was in... But Jess Franco, I think, made a very loose adaptation of Marquis de Sade's Justine, and I think he was in that as well. So they really seemed to get along, and everyone thought that was crazy, because it's like we thought Klaus Kinski hated everybody, especially directors, but him and Jess Franco, I don't know why. They were simpatico.
I did not know that Klaus was suspected of having raped his daughter.
I didn't know that either. Yeah, I saw
they
it
must
on...
They must be talking about Natasha, right?
I don't know if it's true.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's true. I just saw it on another review, and I was just like, "Holy shit! I never heard that."
Yeah, because are they referring to Natasha?
I'm not sure.
She was a cutie.
Yeah, she was an actress too. Yeah, you guys,
Natasha Kinski.
But the thing about it, so there's good shit in this movie, though. I mean, I do like. I like the angle of, the female accomplice. I like that. I wish it had been explored more. I also like, and this might be a little weird, I also like that, the main witness, or even kind of, the hero of the movie, is not the cop, but it's this blind dude who, he was there, when the first attack in the movie happened, and obviously he can't see, but he heard the woman screaming, and he smelled Klaus Kinski. He smelled Jack the Ripper.
Okay.
And so he's able to... Later on, he's the one that, identifies... Because, spoiler alert, Jack the Ripper gets caught at the end of this. Which obviously didn't happen in real life. But, yeah, so that's how he gets caught, because he has a very distinctive smell to him. Because the blind man is, telling the cops all this stuff. It's like, oh, well, I can tell he's an intellectual. He smells kind of like books, and he smells like this rare spice from India. And he has, all this other kind of stuff. And I was like, I like that. I liked that angle, because it was, a little bit unique. I also liked his thirsty-as-fuck landlady.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny. I liked that whole, I don't know if it was meant to be funny.
Yeah, but she was trying to fucking throw herself at him that he didn't have to pay rent as long as he provided her with a service. And she wasn't ugly. She was a good-looking older lady.
She wanted to jump on the date. I think she was in one of those kind of was she in She-Wolf of the SS or something like that? I knew she was in one of those kind of Euros
Leagues. Klaus is just amazingly magnetic with women. I don't know how it happens.
Nobody everybody knows.
Every woman in all the movies that he's ever in trying to jump on Klaus, all right?
And this movie
and
is
he doesn't
no
approve. And he doesn't approve of this shit. His face just gets more...
There's a lot of close-ups of his weird-ass face.
He's totally
in this one.
Disgusted by sex. Totally. In every
Well, they explain it in this movie because he has a flashback, right? And the whole thing about it was that his mom was a prostitute.
Yeah.
So that flashback of him where he's laying in the bed and he sees his mom wavering in front of him in that crazy psychedelic flashback that he has. And she's talking about... I mean, that's supposed to be his mom, right? I'm pretty sure that's supposed to be his mom, according to everything. And she's, saying that... She's kind of, implying that she's going to, screw him as well, so...
Yeah, I think that was his imagination, though.
No, I think that's his mom.
Yeah, no, but he was imagining she was saying that to him, though, wasn't she? Wasn't that, his...
I don't know if it was imagination or if it was a memory...
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I think that the interpretation of it was that because his mom was a hooker,
she was killing everybody.
Then that means that he had to go and kill hookers that looked like her.
Yeah,
and that was why there was the whole thing about the ballet dancer, who I can't remember if it was the same actress or not, but she looked pretty much exactly like his mom. So he'd actually been stalking her.
Yeah.
Whereas before he'd always seemed like he was just opportunistic. Hey, here's a prostitute walking by herself in a creepy dark alley. I'm just going to snatch her and take her back to my lair and cut her all up. And there's a lot of, gory scenes. I mean, they don't look...
They
have that bright red tempera paint blood and everything like that. But, women get their tits cut off.
Yeah.
Arms get cut off. There's a pretty disturbing rape scene, although it's he's kind of raping her and he's stabbing her at the same time. It's kind of shot in the middle distance or long distance, so it's not up
nothing
close.
Nothing looks real.
But it's just kind of, so there is some gory shit in this, but nothing looks realistic.
Looks like it's almost...
at all.
I was under the impression that those flashbacks of his mom were kind of part of a Madonna horror complex of how he imagined her. That's the way I interpreted it. I don't think she...
I mean, it could have been.
Yeah.
I mean, that could have been his real mom, or that could have just been he was messed up and that's how he perceived her.
Yeah, that's, I think...
But I guess in the end...
I mean, she was a prostitute, but I think he had perceived her as being like that.
Yeah. I guess in the end, it didn't matter because, I mean, his perception was what led him to become a serial killer. And the thing about it, too, and I also liked this aspect. I did like a lot of things about this movie. I also liked the aspect that he was almost kind of like a Jekyll and Hyde type character.
I was going to say that.
Because, he, like, during the day, he was a doctor, and he was absolutely willing to, you know, people that were poor or couldn't pay or whatever, and he would have them come to the office, and he was, like, super nice to them, and he, like, helped them with their stuff, like...
I was gonna say that.
Lancing their boils and whatever.
I was gonna say that. Remember, you said that they shouldn't have called this Jack the Ripper? When you said that earlier on, I was like, yeah, they really just should have called it Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. It's closer to Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
That's what I was thinking
without
when I was
the
watching
drug.
It. Yeah.
They just should have added the drug, and it would have made a fucking good Dr. Jekyll movie.
Yeah, because, I mean, Jack, sadly, Jack the Ripper doesn't have, hasn't cornered the market on killing prostitutes.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, you could say it was influenced by Jack the Ripper, but like I said, essentially, Jess Franco had already made this movie called The Awful Dr. Orloff, which was just like a regular, like a doctor that killed prostitutes. Yeah. So this is almost like a beat-for-beat like remake of it, just with the Jack the Ripper thing tagged on. That's what I'm saying. And I don't think it was him. I think it was the producers, like, said that to do that. Because, like I said, the dude made, like, from 7 to 9 films every year. So it's not like he was pouring his heart and soul into this stuff. He was just trying to crank them out as quickly as possible and make some money.
You could just retweak this a little bit with edit and add a couple scenes, transformation scenes, or do whatever, and turn this into fucking Dr. Jekyll.
Yeah.
That,
yeah, I don't think, I mean, this, it has a lot of good elements to it. Like I said, I really like the blind guy thing. I really like the female accomplice. I like that angle. I like the whole, you know, the ballerina, like, going undercover, like, as a prostitute to try and, like, smoke the dude out. I like a lot of the shit about it. Like you said, I think the main problem, one, the dubbing, I kind of wish everybody had just kind of used their own real voice, or they would have just put subtitles on it, because I don't really like dubbing, usually. And the edit, I think it would have been, I think really those are the two main issues with it. Other than that, I don't really have a problem with it.
Yeah.
You know, I just kind of wish that there was a lot of good elements that I wish had been explored more. You know what I'm saying?
I'm gonna say, because of the edit, I'm not gonna fuck with it. I'm not gonna recommend it. I mean, this is for experts only.
Like, if you're into Jess Franco, if you really love Klaus Kinski.
Into Klaus Kinski, then you see it.
Then you should probably see it. And I have seen some horror fans that really love this movie.
Yeah.
And I can understand that.
It's just the edit is very unwieldy.
It's very ponderous.
Yeah, and it's
and like I said,
I've been
patient.
Drinking and you're high, you just want to fucking see a Klaus Kinski movie, you don't really care what's going to happen in it or how long it's going to take, then go ahead and see it. But to me, everything seemed to be happening a bit in slow motion.
And, yeah, it did kind of seem like that to me,
and
too.
And things would happen, but they were interesting, but then they would never follow it up on.
Yeah.
And then you
could problem.
Right.
That was the problem.
Right.
All the interesting shit wasn't explored.
Wasn't explored, yeah.
And then, like, just a lot of it was sort of these long shots of, like, a prostitute, like, walking through a thing. Like, which is fine. Like, that establishes atmosphere and everything. But I think there was too much of that. And there was just, like, too much. And also, I wish that Kinski had gone more, like, balls to the wall. I mean, he's a super freak.
Yeah.
And I kind of wish he would have embraced that. Especially in this role where he's going around raping and murdering women and, like, cutting their tits off.
Yeah,
it's
storing
like,
them and putting them up on the shelves.
And start, I'll just put the tits right there. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and he does at some point.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of like, I wish that he had just gone more like maniacal.
Yeah.
Like he was kind of more known for. He's very, very reserved in this.
Yeah.
Which was a strange choice.
Yeah, and they introduce interesting characters and don't do anything with them. Like his simp chick. Fucking, I was like, okay, where's this gonna go?
See, that's what
and
I was thinking.
And they don't go anywhere with it.
And they don't go anywhere with it. They never explain, like, why she's hanging out with him.
Right.
Like, why.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the same thing as with the landlady where she just thought he had, like, a magic dick. Well, maybe it's just because he was, like, grossed out by women. Like, the only way that he could get off, basically, was by, like, stabbing them. Because they showed, like, that later on. Like, he does rape a woman, or they imply that he rapes her, but you can't tell if he's actually, like, raping her, or if he's just, like, stabbing her and, like, getting off on it like that. So that's the only way that he can get a sexual release is by, like, stabbing women and, like, cutting them up.
Yeah.
So whenever, like, when the landlady approaches him like, in a normal way, like, oh, have some tea and blah, blah, blah. Like, he gets really, really, like, uncomfortable and aggro about it. And because he just can't, like, stand it. The only way that he can relate to women is by killing them, apparently. Like, in a sexual way. He seems to, like, relate to his patients and stuff like that, whether they're male or female, like, normal. Like, normal. But anytime, like, any kind of, like, romantic or sexual feelings come into it, like, he's like, nope, getting stabby. So there was that. And I liked that aspect of it. But again, it seemed like most of the interesting stuff wasn't explored as fully as it could have been. And then some of the stuff that wasn't as interesting, like, went on for too long. That was the only issue. But like I said, you know, when you think about it, this could be re-edited and maybe redubbed. And I think it would be, like, salvageable. But it looks really nice. The acting seems to be good, although with the dubbing, I can't really tell. But, you know.
The thing is, if you re-edit this movie to make it streamlined, you cut probably the best shit out. That's the only, because you'd probably end up cutting most of the simp chick out. You'd be cutting the landlord out, probably. There's a lot of shit that would be cut out that was notable about the movie. It's like they followed the wrong story.
Yeah, that was kind of the impression that I got. Because, like I said, as soon as we're introduced to that woman, it's just kind of, we're like, wait, does she know what he's up to?
Yeah, they should have went that way. But
I was like, oh, this is interesting. Yeah. What is this all about? And then they didn't really do anything with it.
No.
And I think the ending was a little abrupt, too. Because, like I said, pretty much the blind guy comes there and smells him and is like, yep, that's him. And then, like, the cops arrest him. And then Klaus says, you'll never prove it. End.
That's it. Yeah.
There's, like, not even a the end. There's no end credits. There's nothing. It was just, I was watching on Tubi, and he just went, you'll never prove it. And then, like, the next movie popped up. And I was like, okay. But, yeah, so it ended very, very abruptly. So, yeah, I mean, if you're into Jess Franco, if you're into kind of this Eurosleaze type of shit, there's some good shit in there, and it's worth watching if you're into that. But I wouldn't really recommend it as a first. If you want to get into the cinematography of Jess Franco, it'll take a while because he made a lot. This probably isn't the best place to start because it's not that much like his other shit. Like, his other shit was a lot sleazier. I feel like this was kind of him trying to do Hammer a little bit with just a little bit of sleaze in it.
And more gore.
And more, yeah, but I mean, well, his usual stuff was pretty gory and pretty smutty, but so
well,
there
more
is
gore
some
than Hammer, I meant.
Yeah, yeah, that's well, yeah, that's what he was trying to do. It seemed like Hammer, but with more gore and more and bush and stuff. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like tits getting cut off, which they wouldn't do in a Hammer movie.
Right.
I mean, they might do it, but they would imply it. They wouldn't actually show it. This one actually shows it.
For you boobologists and shit out there, you teenage boobologists, The women are nowhere near as hot as Hammer women, though. Nowhere.
They're
near.
A little thin.
Yeah, they're too skinny. Bony, skinny.
Whereas, I do kind of, the ones in Hammer movies.
No, you want to see real women, you look at fucking Hammer.
Where usually had bigger boobies.
Yeah, the British knew how to pimp.
The ones in here had boobs, but they were, you know, they were pretty thin women, you know what I mean?
No, so England were fucking masters of boobology.
Okay. Yeah, I mean,
they were appreciated. They were the predecessors to Russ Meyer. Russ Meyer learned everything he knows from fucking the British.
Yeah, okay. England is a very boob appreciative.
Yeah, but
society.
You know, typical American fashion. You take ours went to 11. Ours go to 11. Yeah. Up one more notch. That's what Russ Meyer's. Yeah.
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 You should probably. I have his autobiography. It's like fascinating. Or a biography of him. It's actually like really, really interesting. It's over there on the bookshelf somewhere. But yeah, so this is on Tubi if you feel like watching it. Like I said, I didn't love it. I thought it was like a little bit boring, but there is like some good shit in there. So your mileage may vary. If you've seen it, let us know what you think about it in the comments. And that'll do it for this movie retrospective. We'll see you guys on the next one. Bye.